Hey, Soul Tribe, welcome back. This is episode 1.9 of Beyond Deconstructing. I'm your host, T. Jamaica Polk, affectionately known as Deconstructing Neuro. And on today's episode, I have the artist that you are hearing right now in the intro, T.R. Sun, the creator of the Alta Vita hit, Stimming. And I was very, very surprised and intrigued by the direction of this conversation. As you guys are aware by now, if you have been with me from the beginning or if you have had the opportunity to listen to the stories from some of my previous guests, you know that my goal or one of my goals with this podcast is to highlight the wide variety of experiences of autistic people. And that's not just how our quirks are different, but really the different kinds of journeys we go through to ultimately all get to the same point of understanding that we are autistic. And in this conversation, you guys will see even more so how intersectionality plays a role in autism, especially when it comes to race. And so I don't want to give too much away, but as an introduction, this conversation, it gets a little heavy and a little somber, but it's much needed and it's raw and it's real. And I very much appreciate it. So without further ado, I'm going to flip it over to my time with TR. Thank you guys so much for coming back to another episode of Beyond Deconstructing. I'm excited to bring you guys today's guest, an artist, a musician, and I'm not going to flap my gums. As always, I like to turn it over to my guests to let them introduce themselves and let you know who they are. So, TR, take it away.
Thank you. My name's TR, TR Sun, music artist, producer, songwriter. I don't know. I do a couple other random things, but I'm autistic and non-binary and happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, I found you, like many of the people that I've interviewed so far, on TikTok. I feel like that's like the biggest community for the Altizzy folks to be able to connect. And I first came across you because of your track Stimming. And I do want to get back to Stimming. That's actually going to be probably the first thing we touch on. But before we even jump into that, for anybody who may not be familiar with you or familiar with your work or familiar with your journey, I'd like to give you this opportunity to kind of walk us through your journey with discovering your neurodivergence.
Okay. When I was very young, there were like signs of things, right? Because autism is not something you could develop, right? So like I used to have seizures when I was very, very young. And I also used to have this something that is in the realm of like selective mutism, selective hearing situation, that they just would say I wasn't paying attention to people. Who knows whether that's more autism or ADHD, to be honest. But then fast forward, and I was in college and I went to try and get some type of answers from like the school psychiatrist and therapist and stuff, because I could at that point. I was 18. I could go and figure it out because I knew that there was something different about me. I'd known that forever at that point. And I had felt depressed already for a long time. And I didn't get any answers from those people or from anybody. For like 7 years, I got consistently misdiagnosed and like hospitalized and put on random medications that absolutely did not work. And then when I was about 25, I was inpatient psych at this point in time. And I remember I was trying to get an anxiety medication. For anyone who has never been in an inpatient psych facility, you can't do anything by yourself. Like I normally take different medications. I have been on and off random different psych medications for a very long time at this point. And I take them myself, and I remember to take my medications because it's, I can just do that. I'm, whatever. They don't let you do that inpatient site. You have to go to them and ask. But some medications are as needed, like an anxiety medicine. So I was like, I need this right now. And they were not giving it to me. And like time passed. And like in the middle of having like a panic attack, or what probably was really like an autistic meltdown, I'm not fully understanding what's going on. I'm trying to not freak out at them, right? So I sat down on the ground, but these nurses, in the most racist way possible, turned me into a threat from sitting on the ground like 5 foot below. It was a really tall desk. It was at least 5 feet tall, and I was absolutely sitting on the ground because I was trying to keep myself from like yelling. Because also, if you're inpatient psych, it's very easy for them to do things that infringe upon your rights and things like that and be physically violent with you if they can label you that way, right? So I didn't want that. I didn't want someone to come, like run in with a Thorazine shot, shoot me in the leg, and drag me into an isolation room. I didn't want to deal with that. So I just sat on the ground because then, like, who am I really threatening if I'm sitting on the floor? Right. And it escalated because the security did come, but like, again, I was on the floor. They were like, I'm not doing anything to this person that's clearly not doing anything. Because I told them, I was like, I just want my medicine and I'll go away. They've just been ignoring me for an hour. And this is like an as needed medicine. They can't do that. I just need this medication. And they wouldn't. And eventually they just got like the doctor that was in charge. Because also in hospitals, sometimes there's not always a psychiatrist around. It takes like the psychiatrists usually have other, like they have to do the intakes plus the psych unit. Plus there's also a lot of times outpatient psych units at the same time that they have regular patients and they might have a practice somewhere else. So they're usually not even there. So they got the doctor, right? And I talked to that doctor and he's the first person that explained it to me. But again, because this person wasn't really assigned to me like that, right? He didn't have time to really explain anything. He used the term neurodivergence. He explained how there's all these different things that overlap that look very similar. And I was like, this kind of makes sense. But then he had to leave and like, I didn't really get anything else out of that, right? I go to my providers outside once I had been released from the hospital, and they all just agreed. They all agreed like they already knew, but they were treating me for these other disorders, this very long list of other disorders, even though, like I said, they all seemed to know already. But the thing that threw me and them off at that point, even having this like pseudo confirmation that I was autistic, I was already in graduate school, and from their perspective and mine at that point, I didn't know what being autistic would have to do with me like that. Like I could be like, I didn't get that there were things that I could do to make my life easier by just simply knowing the fact that I'm autistic and how that changes the way my brain perceives the world around me. I didn't get any of that. No one explained any of that to me. And then I would run into maybe one or two other people over the next 3 years that would also be like, I think you're autistic. And I'd just be like, I think so too, but I don't know. And then eventually when I like went on TikTok and found enough people that were talking about it, I was able to like more unmask myself because I understood what that meant more than just this word. I don't know. Like I've gotten probably at least 10 different diagnoses. These words don't really mean anything to me like that when a doctor just tells it to me, because if I really had all of those things at the same time, all of these different mental illnesses at the same time, I think, and like maybe I'm incorrect, I feel like it would be much harder for me to function than it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't really make sense to me. And like you get desensitized to them telling you things because like otherwise it messes you up too much when you like put too much weight to some things that these people are saying, especially if you've been doing it for so long. Because like most of the people there's things that were on my charts that were there from people that I talked to for 20 minutes. And then I never saw again. this person in 20
weeks to be able to
and then now the next practitioner thinks this about me because this one person said this because they saw me at a time where I was already weirdly distressed.
Yeah. Wow. No, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I'm sorry that that happened to you, but at the same time, and it sound, and I hope it doesn't sound dismissive, but at going through that journey, you were able to finally at least get an answer and be able to put a label to it, even though the words don't really mean much at this point, but at least knowing you're autistic gives you the why behind the what, like why you are the way you are, why you think the way you think. I hope I'm not incorrect in kind of nutshelling it that way.
Well, I misspoke by saying the words don't mean much. Like at the time from a medical provider, after getting insomnia, depression, bipolar one, bipolar two, you can't have both at the same time, but I know some people have told me, PTSD, NPD, BPD, a couple other random things that I think I'm blanking on at this current moment. I don't know, like, that doesn't even make sense. That doesn't make sense for all of those things to happen at the same time, because especially half of them go together, like half of them just go with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And that would encompass the other ones, but they were still considered separate. And then having the difference of, like, at first it was just labeled, I just had anxiety. And then it was, like, panic disorder, and then it was PTSD. I was like, where did I get PTSD from? I don't understand. And like, how did this, like, there's something else going on, because you clearly are guessing. And that's what it felt like. They were just guessing. And that's why the words at that point in time didn't mean anything. Now that I understand what things are, like, yes, there is meaning behind the things, because it helps me know what I need to do and what I need to not do, essentially, to make my life a little easier.
Got you. And that completely makes sense. And you actually brought up a point during your story about how they saw you. They instantly saw a Black male, and they were just like, okay, we're going to treat you like a threat. How much do you feel like intersectionality has played a role in how autism presents in you, and then also how other people have treated you regarding your autism, or what they saw before they knew it was autism?
So I think in Black communities, I don't present as that weird. Because I think, like, Black, like, there are, like, jazz musicians, I feel like I have a very similar temperament to what you would think of a lot of jazz musicians that are just kind of in their head doing their little thing, worried about their art and such. So, like, the way that I am about my own art and things like that, and like I play a lot of different instruments, it's like I never had those issues around other Black people. Like when I was in elementary school, I went to school with the overwhelming majority Black kids, and I didn't feel like the weird one at that point. I definitely still had things, but I didn't seem that strange. But then I went to middle school, and I went to school around a bunch of white kids, and all of a sudden I had no friends and nobody liked me, and I used to get into fights all the time. And it's like, when I was younger, I didn't understand why that was and what the difference was. And it's just, and I remember being told before about, because I, like, oh, this so-and-so is autistic, you have to be nice to this person. And I was like, this is weird, because I'm like, this person that I'm speaking of, like this high school kid, right, was clearly being awful to me in this moment. I'm like, this person knows what they're doing, right? And it's just the disparity of like how you're treating an early diagnosed like white male, right, versus an undiagnosed Black male, in literally the same class, they're just having an argument with the exact same disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is a perfect example of kind of what I've been trying to do with deconstructing neurodivergence. As a Black woman, you know, like I have kind of, well, firstly, as a Black person, I have that similar thing where people look at us and we all automatically get seen as aggressive, or they go to the negative stereotype, and then our counterparts get the benefit of the doubt all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. And then myself, I've had issues with emotional regulation, where like if I get really, really upset about something, I can't help but cry. And then as a woman, it gets seen as, oh, you're just being manipulative. You're just trying to use your tears and be, you know, this, that, and the other. And so for a long time for me, I've had a similar thing where like no one really saw me for me. I had to figure it out because there's no representation of how autism looks with intersectionality worked into it. And so with that being said, I actually want to transition into your art because, like I mentioned earlier, your song Stimming is the first thing that came across my page. And just as a preface, the reason why I immediately was drawn to it was, firstly, I saw myself in the song and in you as an artist. Like, firstly, like we said, we're both Black. You seemed like you were just being so free and not giving a fuck. Like, just, this is how I am when I need to release energy, or I need to be creative, or I just need to get up and move. And I know I'm not the only one. Other people do it too. And I thought that was so dope and so cool. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, what inspired you to, yeah, of course, but what inspired you to create that track Stimming and, you know, give it the flavor that you gave it?
I make a lot of very sad songs, I think. But like, I don't know, it's difficult to be autistic. So it seems appropriate. But in like a moment, I was like, it feels like there is a hole in it where, like you said, there's not necessarily the representation you would like. And I don't even think it's because there's not like autistic Black people that are successful at all aspects of existence. I think that either they do not know or do not want to be open about it for the sake of their own careers. And you can't really blame them for either one of those. But I don't know if it felt like, I remember the idea I had was like, if I could make a song for autistic people specifically, but like if the Migos could make a song like that, you know, like I needed it to be like, something. I don't know what the thing is about it, because I know when I record, I have to like get out of my own head to a point, but like I needed to like physically like stim to get some of those things out and even let my voice sound kind of that way.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I like when you said that if the Migos made a song for autism, because that's how it's a bop. Like, you know, it really gets you up and dancing. Like, even if dancing isn't one of your personal stims, as an autistic person, hearing that song and seeing the videos that not only you made, but then now other autistic people have
seen. I love seeing those videos. Those are so cool.
Exactly. Like, I feel like even if that isn't your personal stim, just seeing that genuine autistic joy is enough to really help validate other people who have turned to spaces like TikTok and Instagram and social media to see actual representation. And that's something that I wanted to touch on too, is like, TikTok gets a lot of flack, right? A lot of people still downplay it as, oh, it's just this social media app. It's a dancing app for kids or whatnot. We know at this point, it's much more than that. But even with that being said, a lot of people still criticize the actually autistic community on TikTok because they see it as people either trying to capitalize on a trend, which is like, how is it trendy to be someone who struggles socially? But, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love it because it's bringing us together and it's allowing us a platform to just be ourselves. You brought up previously that you kind of seeing other people on TikTok was a big thing of being able to help you with your autism. I wouldn't mind if you would kind of expand on that and kind of give us a little bit more of your view. Just again, because I like to fight against that erroneous stereotype that TikTok isn't serious or isn't a good resource to take serious for the autistic community.
You just have to look deeper than there's certain people who I would see at first when I was scrolling through looking at videos, and I would start to curate my thing towards like neurodivergence in general and ADHD and autism and whatever. And there were certain people that I would see that I'm sure still are on that app making content, but I definitely don't see them anymore because it's very surface level things. And a lot of it, I'm like, this is not helpful. This is like a joke about ADHD and doesn't do anything for me. Like, I don't particularly care that they do it. They can do whatever they want. But like, that's not what I'm looking for. There were people, when I was figuring this out, I went and I found people that were about my age that looked like I would be friends with them in the first place, that also spoke in a more in-depth educational way. They needed to check all of those boxes at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't think I would be like friends with you based on like your age or whatever the things are, right? Like it makes it harder for me to relate to you, and it's going to make it harder for me to listen to you. So I need to do that, right? And then I also need to like, you need to know what you're talking about, and you need to make more than like the 5 second, I'm following the trend to get the followers videos to explain something to me, because I don't know and I'm trying to learn it. But those people are absolutely out there. I think a lot of times get overshadowed by the people who stick to the trends more.
Oh yeah, you're definitely right. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that brought me back to a point that you raised earlier that I really want to touch on. Again, going with intersectionality and having a more varied view of what autism looks like. When you were describing kind of that initial interaction with TikTok and then now getting more in depth with it, I realized that most of those creators that are the most popular in our space are still white. Mm-hmm. And they're the most popular, probably not just because they do the trends, but because they are white. And a lot of people will find them more relatable because they're trendy. But what it does is it also keeps suppressing our voices, the voices of people who are more marginalized within that community. And then it doesn't give you this multifaceted way of how it presents. And so you'll see like the quirky, you know, white girl who has all of these fidget toys. And yes, her autistic journey is not less valid than mine, but it's not the only way it looks in a woman. Or you might see, you know, a very, you know, detail oriented person. I don't know, like, I don't want to keep coming up with stereotypes, but those are the ones that we always see. And that's part of the reason why I, you know, have been kind of, I don't want to say discriminatory, but selective in the people that even I reach out to when it comes to the podcast, because I want to make sure that I am highlighting the voices of actually autistic people who are marginalized, who have very different experiences, because at the end of the day, on the surface level, we're all different, but we are underneath all autistic and all have the same, and our struggle is collective. Like, our struggle in the society is collective, and whether you look a certain way, you know, shouldn't matter. We should all like be able to come together and like progress the autistic community together. And it starts by having authentic representation and seeing the literal spectrum of autism.
You're right, because people don't. I don't think most people are aware of what they're doing and why it's not good, and how they're like unintentionally being shitty to autistic people that they interact with in their day-to-day life. I don't think most people even think about those types of things, which isn't really their fault, because it's not this material isn't like readily available to most people. But like, without the representation of different people in like different media and things, like, I haven't finished this show yet. I don't know if you watched it, but like Heartbreak High with Bo Yeadon in it.
I heard of it, but no, I haven't gotten through it yet.
But like, she is actually autistic, like in real life, right? Her character Quinny in that show is autistic, and they say it, and like the things that they're doing in the show would mirror someone being nice to their autistic friend, and like little things like that that doesn't exist in most places, right? Usually the autistic character is, one, not labeled, and two, treated like an outcast and very shitty. It's gonna imprint on people, because yeah, that's what you're showing them. That's what you're showing them. That's what you do with this type of person in society.
Absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. if there's any representation, it's very one-dimensional or it's coded. Mm-hmm. And when it's coded and then we call it out, there's so many people that like get triggered and they're like, why are you trying to make everyone autistic? And it's not that we're trying to make everyone autistic. We're trying to point out to you how common it is that some of your favorite characters are these people who are just quirky. Mm-hmm. You may not realize that they are autistic and they remind you of either yourself or people that you know and love. And now that's threatening to you because now you have to reconsider your conception of what an autistic person is, because this person you relate to or this person you like is autistic.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. I think it does scare a lot of people who are autistic, but they don't know or don't want to like admit that.
Absolutely.
Like, there's people do things like autistic people will do things to hide their autism in society. And like that's called masking, right? Whatever. But masking is not like what you do when you're having a conversation with somebody, or it's not just making eye contact. Like masking for me is even in the fact that like my special interest of music means that if I'm like, let's say I'm recording a session, right? And I have these random people that I don't know, these artists that paid me money to record with me in the studio. I'm not good at like the small talk conversations pretty much about anything. I can talk to them about music stuff, but a lot of times the artists don't know a lot of the technical things that I'm currently trying to do to make their song sound good. So I just mix their song while they're standing there, because that is an acceptable thing to do in my like little position, but it also hides the fact that I don't know how to have this conversation right now.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many, like it's more complicated than, again, just like making eye contact or something like that.
Absolutely. And oh my goodness. I'm so glad you brought this back up, because I really wish that I was better at like remembering things on the spot. But when you were talking about your experience when you were younger and how there was like a young white boy who was diagnosed and you and him had an interaction and how you guys were treated differently, I wanted to bring that back around to like basically like how we are forced to mask as not just autistic people, but as Black people, because You had a very perfect example of how when you were younger and you were around other Black people, you weren't the weird kid. In that context, within our culture, you weren't an outsider. But as soon as you went to the predominant culture, when you were surrounded by white people, all of a sudden you were the outsider and you were in trouble all the time. And you probably had to start masking parts of just who you were as a person to not be in trouble. Am I right?
No, for sure. For sure. Like, it's not weird for me as a Black person to just want to make beats. I don't know. There's Black people that have made beats that are like revered as so good. Like, the world lost their minds that Dr. Dre did the Super Bowl and played that part of that Tupac song. Mm-hmm. Right? He played piano for 14 seconds and the world lost their minds. Like, it's okay for me as a Black person to be like, oh, I just want to make beats and make music and care about these types of things. I don't know that once I'm removed from that, it's still going to be seen the same. I know it wasn't, at least for a time.
Yeah. Do you think it's because our actions get interpreted through a lens of already there's these assumptions made about us and we have to like prove that we're not that way, as opposed to being given a blank slate like our counterparts do?
Yes, for sure. There's a lot of things, even decisions that I've made of like music, types of music I was making and things. I don't feel this way about myself or the music I'm making anymore. But like when I was younger, I would do things that I think, because I was trying to show the people around me that I understood the things that they were doing, they understood also. Because there's a lot of, within music, there's like a lot of elitism, right? And it's really just like thinly veiled racism and classism, where like playing an instrument is, oh, you can do this thing, right? Anybody could rap, anybody could sing, anybody could do whatever, but you could play an instrument. The thing is, instruments cost money and music lessons are expensive. So who probably doesn't have a lot of money to buy an instrument and pay $50 at least an hour to get private music lessons, but poor people and black people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very glad that I understood that. And I'm not upset that I know how to play instruments either. It's just I was doing things to please people that were never going to be pleased with me anyway.
Yeah. And that's a whole other level of masking that I don't think is talked about enough, especially because, like we just already mentioned, a lot of our representation, now that we are starting to get representation, is still very one-dimensional and flat. It's coming from people who either had the privilege of being diagnosed a little earlier or who had the privilege of being represented in a way of knowing what they, look like. And again, that's why I'm so thrilled when I get to see other people who are being authentically themselves online and showing, like, look, this is who we are. I'm not a stereotype, but I also need you to understand that even though I'm trying to break the stereotype, it's not because I'm different or better. It's because you guys are wrong about what you perceive about what autism is and how it looks.
Absolutely right. Because it's different. It always is going to look different between different people. And I don't think that's really understood. Because also that, again, implies to a lot of people that it could be them also, or someone that they like really genuinely care about, or someone that they think is smart, or whatever the thing is. And it's like, you just got to let go of those types of beliefs. I don't know. Like there's, cause like, I am aware that there's levels, right. Of autism. Like I would be considered level one. And there's like 2 and 3 or whatever. Right. And I don't know which level my brother is. I'm pretty sure he would be considered level 3 because he's non-speaking and has to live in a facility thing. I don't know what it's like really called like that. With like him and a bunch of other people. He's been with the same people for like super, super long at this point. And they just like live in this little residence and there's people that like take care of him and that or whatever. I guess it's paid for by like the insurance or the state or something. I don't know. But the thing with my brother specifically is that, like you heard of like double empathy theory, my brother is blind also, and also has other different, neurodevelopmental disabilities, right? On top of the autism and intellectual disabilities. For some reason, this, he has always known who I am. He doesn't like most people. He doesn't let most people touch him. He doesn't want most people sitting next to him. There's like 5 people he was ever okay with that, from what I could tell. And I was always one of those people, but he's so much older than me. Like my brother was 25 when I was born, I think.
Okay.
So like he met me, I was a baby and like, but still like I haven't seen him in a couple of years and it's still, I was with him the whole time and I was at my grandma's funeral. And he was okay with me and wasn't okay with anyone else. And it's like I don't know why, right? I don't really fully understand because my brother does not speak in a way that I understand, right? But I know he's understanding what I'm saying, and I don't really know why I can kind of read him like that, but I can. And it just is this something about autistic people's brains, I believe, that where it, like it just works in this specific kind of way. And it's, I don't even know how to fully describe it, but like, once you see it fully, you'll like, it's like, once I saw it in myself, I could see it everywhere and I could pick it out all the time in all types of different people and all types of interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's that pattern recognition that is very common amongst us. And I want to thank you for being very candid about your brother. I didn't know that you had a brother that was autistic. And also like that you brought up the different like levels. I personally don't like that like labeling system, only because autism is a spectrum, right? And when we divide it up, like, you know, the antiquated, like, oh, Asperger's or high functioning, to me, I feel like it still adds to the problem of people seeing us as full people. Because I'll open up a little. For me, the biggest thing for me with getting people to believe that I'm autistic is because I've been so high masking my whole life. I've held a job, I've gotten promotions, I make friends, I make eye contact. But people don't realize how much energy it takes for me to do that. So just because I have forced myself to do that through masking doesn't mean that I'm a high functioning person all the time. I can't make the phone call to my doctor sometime to like make an appointment. I need to make a dentist appointment for like the last 2 weeks that I haven't done. But then like I'll turn around and write a 10-page paper in 5 minutes, or not 5 minutes, like 5 hours or whatnot. And it's like, oh, well, you can do this. Why can't you do this? Because it's a spectrum and every day is different. Some days I have a great executive function and some days I can't do anything other than get up and go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel like once we understand the full picture and how it varies and it looks different in different people and from day to day, I feel like that will help us a bit more with understanding. Like, because like you just said, once you saw it in yourself, you were able to see it in other people, irregardless of their like level of needs. Because it's all at the end of the day, we're still autistic.
It's just like, I understand that I'm useful to people for certain reasons, right? I don't know, like people can ask me to make them beats. They ask me to write them songs. They ask me to teach their kids, whatever the thing is that I've taught them over the course of my life. Lots of different things. I can be useful to someone in that kind of way. But that is not necessarily the case for all autistic people. And I think the things that were necessarily, like some of the things that we're trying to do are absolutely the same. And some of them are different in terms of like, I watched this video this morning, actually, and it was someone's mom talking about how this kid had been like hit with a car or something, right? Mm-hmm. And it was at like a day facility thing. And this person was not speaking. And they were trying to use like these cards that they made so that way the kid could explain to the police as like a testimony, right, or whatever. And they were like, no, unless he could speak, we don't take it. It doesn't count. And it's like, I think things like that is where it's like a little bit different of what our immediate needs are on where the levels would be different. But I don't think from an outside perspective, I think it's still hitting us the same. It's just affecting us slightly differently. Because if you got hit with the car, you could tell them, right?
Right.
And like, you don't, like, even though I sometimes will use an app on my phone, like an AAC app, or I'll just text people and I won't talk out loud, I can force it whenever I want to. Mm-hmm. I can. Sometimes it's messy and I'll like be having, like, I'll be like fully freaking out and like crying and shaking and all types of shit. But I can force the speech out if I want to. Everyone can't do that. And it's just things like that that I think would be the difference. And that's why I would say, like, I don't know, I don't want to be the light skinned of autism, where like we get Zendaya and Spider-Man and think that everything's cool. Like, it's not quite that simple.
No, exactly. But no, that's actually a great point. And it kind of supports what I was saying, because in your example, the person who is nonverbal and can't speak is automatically given less of they're not seen as credible as someone who can speak. But at the end of the day, just because their autism affects them in a different way, or they have a comorbid thing that, you know, intellectual or developmental disorder that causes them to not be able to speak, doesn't mean that they aren't just as valid as someone who can speak or someone who is useful to other people. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get across, is that we're all one. Yes, I could, and for a long time have skated by barely as someone who is, you know, neurotypical enough to pass and be super useful to people. But does that mean that I have more value than somebody who's never spoken a word in their life, but could have this incredible inner world that if you got to know them and they were comfortable enough around you to open up, that you would see that this person has so much beauty in them that no one took the time to recognize or see, because they just automatically wrote them off because of this false assumption of what they're capable of or who they are, you know? That's kind of what I see.
I think if people stopped buying into the thought that we need to do a thing, like you must contribute to society or you don't belong in society type deals. Like if you were given guaranteed food and a place to live, no one would think that way.
Yeah.
Because like, what would you really be concerned about like that? The extra things that you're choosing to do for yourself, that's not, that doesn't even make any sense. You wouldn't care about that person in that specific kind of way. You wouldn't think that you need them to give you tax dollars that aren't really going to you anyway. So that way you could not have potholes in your street that are still going to be there anyway. Like they're attaching everything to the wrong stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good conversation as well, that internalized capitalism and how capitalism and ableism are best friends.
Yeah. All the isms feed up are stemmed from the capitalism, really.
Yeah. And all of those are the granddaughter of white supremacy.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's something that I kind of wanted to start touching on a little bit more. I've been tiptoeing around it for a little while and hinting at it, but I really want to call a spade a spade. And every ism stems from white supremacy and the whole idea of perfectionism. And that's why to this day, like, going back to the example, you went from being around predominantly Black people to being predominantly white people or more mainstream. And you saw immediately how you not changing, but your environment changing was the difference between you being able to thrive and then fighting to survive in an environment that inherently does not want you there, or is designed specifically to weed out people who don't fit the mold. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're facing as a whole in this society. Like, why do we have to continue to like justify our existence or our right to exist? Because we don't inherently feed this system that all it does is perpetuate itself and help less than 1% and harm the rest of us.
True. I don't know. I would like to leave, to be honest with you. That is my current plan. To leave this whole, I'm going to go. So I don't know where I'm going to go yet. I haven't figured that out. I don't know. This is, it's going to take two things. I'm going to have to get bored of LA where I live now, which I'm not quite bored of yet. And also I just need to make like $2,000-ish like without having to do another thing, right? Like off the internet. So that way, wherever I'm going, I don't have to get a job and deal with like whatever the things are there. It's because I've already dealt with this. And $2,000 in a different country is more than enough to live off of comfortably. It's not here.
Absolutely. I feel you on that. Like, personally, I want to leave as well. I don't know exactly where yet either. I'm actually traveling most of next month. I'm leaving my apartment, moving out of my apartment at the end of this month, going and traveling for about 3 weeks, and then coming back and figuring things out. And I feel very much the same way. I know that white supremacy has touched almost every corner of this earth, so it's not like I can outrun it. But I do feel like there's a particular level of sickness in our American culture that makes it even less possible for neurodiverse people, especially once you add more intersections, being Black, being queer, being a woman or being other disabled onto it, that just like really makes it difficult for us to be able to live. Like you said earlier, we don't even have our basic needs met. Like if you don't have a job, you usually don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
And if you do have health insurance, it's like shitty health insurance where you can't do anything or you got all these out-of-pocket expenses. You know, if you don't have a job, you don't have good housing usually. You know, there's so many things that are our basic needs that are tied to how much of ourselves we sell to other people. And I'm over it.
Absolutely. I just don't want to do it. When I used to live on the East Coast, after I moved out here, I didn't have a regular job. I did Lyft for a while. And being able to stop and like just do nothing for like an hour or two and then go back to work. Cause like, if I didn't drive, I would not have the money to pay my bills. Right. So I still had to do the same amount of work essentially, but I could stop and take a break when I needed to. That made the whole world of difference to the point of like, now I cannot and do not go apply to jobs where I need to like check in with somebody every day and be in a spot. Because I know it's not going to work. It didn't work before. It was ruining my whole existence.
Yeah.
And the people that love to say that when they do minimize lower support needs, autistics, it's like, I can't have a regular job, not because I'm lazy, not because I'm just a creative person that whatever. I have tried a lot of times to have a regular job. And every single time I end up inpatient psych trying to end my own life, it doesn't work. Because the amount of masking I need to do freaks me out. There's no way around that. That's not the minimizing of what they do to us is like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, just because I'm good at one thing doesn't mean everything is easy.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. So on point. I can talk about that for forever, but I'm not going to, because we're going to wrap it up here. But okay. But wow, yeah, I don't even want to go into the next talk, because I feel like I could probably go on and on and on and on. But to wrap this up, I firstly want to thank you for coming on and for being so candid and for sharing your unique perspective, because as I said before, all of our stories are needed, but especially when it is one that is not being shown, that is not being pushed out there, we really need to see it. So before we go, what I would like to do is give you an opportunity. If you have any like last words or words of encouragement or just little like thought nuggets that you want to share, please use this time to do so. And then let everybody know where they can find you and support your projects.
I guess the last thing I would say is if you think you're autistic, even if you're not right, the little things that you would do to like accommodate yourself don't hurt anyone. I have these weird colored lights in my room that doesn't bother anyone. It wouldn't matter if I was actually autistic or not. My room just has these weird colored lights. This whole time I've been on this call, I've been flipping this little cube in my hands. Again, doesn't hurt anyone to buy this little thing. I don't know. I think it was like 10, 20 bucks, something. Go accommodate yourself, even if you don't know, because also if you think you're autistic, chances are it's not autistic or nothing. It might not be autism. It might be like some combination of like PTSD or ADHD or OCD or things. There's a lot of things that have overlapping traits with autism. But like, it's probably not nothing. So the little accommodations that you will give to yourself in that discovery and journey will drastically help your life and improve your life, even if you never fully understand what the thing is. Because the word is less important than like accommodating yourself, and the label is less important than accommodating yourself. I'm on TikTok and Instagram at TR Sun the Terminator. And I'm on Apple Music, Spotify, all of those places that you listen to music. TR Sun. I have a new project, Terminator 2. It's all about being autistic. That's where the track stimming is. I think that's about it. And I have another song coming out on the 31st. I have no idea when this is going to be on the internet, but on January 31st, I have another song that's going to come out.
Also, well, I'm looking forward to it. This will be out before the 31st. So if you listen to this, you guys, on the day that it comes out, make sure that you follow, or even if it's after the 31st, that means it's already ready and you guys can go and listen to it and support it. TR, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed this. And yeah, of course. And I'm going to make sure that I leave links in the description for you guys so you can check out their work. And thank you guys again for stopping by and spending a little time with me today on another episode of Beyond Deconstructing. I want to thank you guys once again for stopping by and spending a little bit of time with me today. Again, I hope you enjoyed this very candid conversation with T.R. Sun. And again, if you would like to hear more of his music, make sure you check out his socials. I'm leaving links in the description wherever you're watching or listening to this. And make sure you come back next week for another episode of Beyond Deconstructing. Peace and love always.